You of prayer, as I said, God told Jeremiah, he said, hey, you, Jeremiah, you need to pray. When you're in a low place, you need to pray. When you're in a high place, you need to pray. When you're in between, that's where we really get messed up at. A lot of us don't have no problem calling on God in the low valleys and in the high mountains. It's the in between is where we get messed up at. Most of the time we do not get off track when we're on top or when we're at the bottom. It's somewhere in the middle when things are going okay and life is normal and every day is passing. That's when we look around and it's been a while since we've talked to the Lord. Amen. Let me give you some things. Number one, I'll say this, the intimacy of prayer. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said this, but thou when thou prayest. I've always loved that verse in Matthew 6 because Jesus is making an assumption about Christians. He said, let me tell you what you should do when you pray. Not if, but when. Man, I would say that's a pretty big leap for a lot of people. Listen, for him to say, if he had the modern day church in mind, he'd probably say it like this. But hey, if you get around to praying at some point this year, then maybe try it like this. But he looked at his disciples and he said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The secrecy of prayer is a part of our intimacy. Can I tell you something? There ought to be things that you talk to the Lord about that you wouldn't never talk to nobody else about. Amen. There ought to be a level of intimacy in your prayer life, and without secrecy, there is no intimacy. There ought to be things that God knows about you that nobody else knows, and there ought to be things that you're expecting God to do that nobody else knows. There ought to be situations that God knows how you feel, and you know how God feels, and that ain't for nobody else but you and Him. Hey, can I say this? As a pastor, as a preacher, sometimes I find myself in my conversation with God of prayer and Bible reading, I find myself constantly, the only time I interact with God is when I'm trying to get something to tell you folks about. And there comes some times when God will just get down in there with me and show me something that's just for me and Him. I've got some messages wrote down somewhere in some notebooks in some drawers that'll probably never see the light of day, but God has imprinted them on my heart because it wasn't for you, it was for me. It wasn't for everybody else, it was for what I needed. Listen to me, and I want to say tonight, there ought to be some intimacy, some secrecy in your prayer life. Matthew 26:39, Jesus is approaching Calvary. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is facing and looking into the cup of the wrath of God that is about to be poured out on his life. And he's looking at this horrible future that is coming his way. And he is so stressed out, the Bible says, he is under so much pressure and anxiety that sweat came out of his body, as it were, great drops of blood on his forehead. He was literally squeezing the blood out of his body from the tension of what he was facing. And the Bible says that he went up into a mountain and prayed. And I just want you to hear this verse right here, Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Hey, can I tell you something? There ought to be some secrecy to our prayer life, and that will bring intimacy. But another thing that we ought to have is some separation in our prayer life. Some of us need to just go a little bit further than everybody else. Hey, somebody's got to pray a little harder. Somebody's got to go a little longer. Somebody's got to get a little further down the road. Jesus was facing a hard situation, and he said, let me just go a little further before I call this thing done. He had already prayed, and he had already talked to God about this situation. He had already had this conversation and relinquished his will to God's will. But when he stood up, he didn't feel like he was done. He said, it ain't time to quit. I'm just going to go a little further and pray. Some of us need to go a little further. Some of us have given up on some things that we wanted to see God do in our lives. Got real quiet right there. That's all right. Some of us have done let go of some prayers and went back to normal. Some of us, there was a time when we was asking God to do something that was beyond our understanding. And somewhere along the way, we said, okay, I believe we've gone far enough. Can I tell you something? Separation brings intimacy. Every once in a while, you just need to take some time for just you and Him. Amen. Every once in a while, you need to say, wait a minute. I can't go do this other thing because I gotta spend some time with the Lord. Amen. Secrecy in our prayer life gives us intimacy, but intimacy will bring understanding in our prayer life. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me break this down for you real simple. When you don't know what to say, God knows what needs being said. Amen. When you don't know how to pray, pray anyhow. Yes. When you don't know what to say, say it anyhow. Hey, listen, when you get down to the point where the... Hey, listen, I don't know what this looked like in that first century time. I don't know what this looked like for those early disciples and what these groanings that could not be uttered looked like, but I know what it looks like in my life. Can I just give you some practical application right here? Hey, there's been some times when I've come into this church building when there ain't nobody in here but me and God, and I've crawled up under this cedar plank altar right here, and I've said something like this, Oh God, I don't know what to do, Lord. Help me, God. I don't even know what to say. Oh, Lord, help this situation. Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
So what is that? I'm just going, they spend some times when I can't find the right words, so I'm just going to have to let Him figure it out. Thank God He can figure it out. Amen. Yeah.
Hey, there's been some situations where I've gone to the Lord and essentially all I had in my heart was, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. Thank God for the Spirit who speaks on my behalf. The Comforter whose interest is for good for God's children. Amen. For the Advocate that we have with the Father. Intimacy of prayer brings understanding. I got to hurry tonight. Let me give you this. The methodology of prayer. I think sometimes we preach on these things, and it's cool to stand up here and preach on prayer, but it ain't cool if I don't tell you how to do it. Amen. I've come to understand that there's a lot of people that'll say amen and stuff in church that they don't really know nothing about. I mean, really. Listen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that'll sit in this church and nod their head when I talk about praying. And if they had to pray their way out of a hard situation tonight, man, they'd be in a mess. If they had to get a hold of God today, they'd be in a tough spot. The methodology of prayer, first of all, I got a bunch of stuff wrote down here. Just go with me. Here's some different ways we can pray. One simple way is seeking after God. Matthew 6. Jesus lists off a bunch of stuff to the disciples. He said, I know. He said, I don't want you to worry about money. I don't want you to worry about clothes. I don't want you to worry about stuff and all that. He said, here's what I want you to do. Verse 33 of Matthew 6, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. And all these things will be added to you.
Amen.
He said, hey, listen. The first thing you need to do in your prayer life, if you want to get hold of God, is take some time to go look for Him.
Amen.
If I needed Brother Brian tonight, and I called his phone and he didn't answer, or it was cut off, or something like that, you say, what would you do if I really needed him? I'd get in my truck, I'd drive around the block, and I'd knock on the door and see if any lights come on. If I couldn't find him there, I'd go back around the other side of the block to his daddy's house. I'd knock on his door and see if he knew where it was at. And if he didn't know, then, hey, listen to me, I might have to wait till in the morning and drive to the job site and come up and look for his truck and knock on his door and see if I can get a hold of him. You see, when you really want somebody and you really want to get a hold of somebody, you will pursue after them. You will seek after them. You will go where they want to go. And try to be where they are. Listen to me. That is the seeking of God.
Amen.
How about this? God, where do you stand? You want to talk about seeking the kingdom of God? God, hey, listen, here's a simple question we ought to ask about a lot of things before we do them. God, how do you feel about this? I believe if you ask that question, go up your Bible and spend some time in it, God will answer that question.
Hey, listen. I'm talking about methodology of prayer, the ways we pray, seeking after God. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We ought to pray in thanksgiving. When's the last time? Just hear me out. This is real practical preaching. When's the last time that something good happened in your life and you just said, thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. Thanks, God. Thank you for looking after me. I mean, really, when's the last time? I mean, if you're like me, I'm on the road all the time. Seems like, I mean, it's unbelievable how much time I spend inside of a vehicle. But, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been riding down the road and I look up and here comes somebody in my lane. And then just in that last minute, they get over back over in their lane. And you know, you say, what do you do right there? I just say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Amen. Listen to me. When's the last time you celebrated a victory? You are not going to sit here tonight and tell me that the God of the universe has not done anything good in your life recently.
See, I think a lot of times what it is we got our goals out of whack. We want something from God that ain't ours. We're expecting something from God that He didn't promise. But I tell you what, if you open your heart to thanksgiving, it'll open up your prayer life. It'll open up your lines of communication with the Lord a whole lot more. If you'll start to realize that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and don't no good thing come out of this world, that what's good is coming from God, and get some thanksgiving in your prayer life, it'll help you.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6, in that same verse, he said, let your request be made known. What about petitioning prayer? Let me give you some advice tonight. A lot of times when it gets to the place where we want or need something, and I understand there's a difference between want and need, but the reality is in the society that we live in, our needs are very small. For the most part, we have our needs filled. Most of what we deal in modern day American church is wants. Just to be honest with you. I mean, if we're really going to be honest, there's very few times when we need something that we can't get. You know, it's funny because as I've gotten older, I've really started to get to the point where I really don't get excited about stuff like birthdays. And it ain't just because I'm getting older. I mean, listen, I love Christmas, but gifts don't really do it for me. I like all this stuff, but gifts, you say, why? Because, to be honest with you, for the most part, if there's something I want and I can afford it, I'm going to get it. And if it's something I want that I can't afford, probably ain't nobody else going to get it for me. I mean, let's be honest here. And if I'm really being honest, most time, if I want something that I can get, I just shouldn't get it myself. Hear me out right here. That ain't what I'm talking about. When we petition God, we are asking Him to fill a gap. God, here is a situation where my ability has come to an end. I need You to do a supernatural thing. Say, preacher, that's asking a lot. But wait a minute now. He just said, let your request be made known. The door's open, friend. You can't ask God for too much. You cannot ask Him for anything that He cannot provide.
Amen.
Petitioning prayer. In Matthew chapter number 6, I don't have time to preach all of it, but He gives us a pattern to prayer. In what some call the Lord's Prayer, probably more aptly called the model prayer, Jesus gave us a pattern of prayer. And hey, listen, I tell you what, if you're having a hard time in your prayer life, you go look at that and follow that pattern. Just plug in the things in your life. How about that part where He says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, won't You make it right so it'll be right here so I can understand what it means to be right there. There's a pattern of prayer. Matthew 21 and verse 22 says this, All things. I love that word all because it means all. That's all that it means. It just means all. There's everything in there. All things whatsoever. In case you was wondering, let's keep the door open. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, comma,
believing, you shall receive. A lot of times our prayer life is not fruitful because there's no faith involved.
I wonder when's the last time you asked God for something that you needed to have faith in. When's the last time you believed God for something? You know how you know you're believing God for something? Let's make this, clarify this here. Because listen, I want you to understand that Matthew was not saying that you could ask God for things that God's not going to give. But if you believe it, then it'll be so. God's not a genie in a bottle.
Amen.
What I'm talking about right here is asking in faith.
If I ask God for a $100 bill tomorrow, there's really not a lot of faith involved in that. Because I really and truly, I probably got 3 or 4 people I could call, and if I asked them just right, they'd probably give me a $100 bill. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, really. A $100 bill ain't what it used to be. Amen. I mean, let's be real here. But I tell you, when I ask God for things like, Lord, we're going to need a bigger sanctuary at some point. And God, I'm trying real hard, God, to follow your will. I don't want to put the church in debt. I don't want us to be a slave to some bank. God, I need you to show me something that don't make no sense to me. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I've told this story probably a million times, but it'll be all right. We first moved over here, we had $100,000 in debt. I didn't like that none. Now I'm thinking like, I got friends that's got churches run through 400. They're $1 million in debt, man. It gives me heart palpitations just thinking about it. $100,000 felt like it was an insurmountable number. And I said, Lord, show me something here, Lord. I need you to get involved in this thing. I'll never forget this. My phone rang one day. Man, I hadn't talked to him, not with any depth in probably years. He said, hey, right by the house, I got something for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I come up and that man stood in front of me and wrote me a check for $50,000.
Wow.
Like it was nothing. If you ask in faith, believing, you will receive. Some of us just need to believe God for some things. Some of us don't have no prayers in the input box right now that require no kind of faith. I mean, God, we pray stuff like, give us this day our daily bread. Y'all got enough bread in your cabinet right now to feed you for a month. I mean, really, we got 3 freezers full of meat. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Come on now. How about, Lord, keep my children from getting caught up in sexual sin.
Amen.
I got that on my heart this week. How about Lord, protect my family? How about, Lord, give me the wisdom to see when there's issues in my marriage I need to deal with?
Amen.
How about, Lord, give me the ability. You know what? Hey, listen.
You know what would help us financially move forward? If people gave more money, right? So here's what we're going to do. We all going to just say, Lord, let me just say that. Don't nobody say nothing. Everybody just sit still. Because I'm going to make an assumption because I love y'all. Okay? I'm going to assume that everybody in this church tithes because that's a command from God. I'm going to assume that ain't none of us robbing God. That's going to be my assumption. Don't say nothing. Be careful now. Don't cut your eyes now. I'm watching. I'm gonna assume that everybody's tithes. So here's what I'm gonna say. Here's what we all be praying. God, double every one of our tithe this year. I guarantee you 2 things. You won't be worried about money, and we won't be worried about money.
We'll buy a new church building and we'll all drive up to it on our new cars. But I'm gonna tell you this right here. Talk about praying. Everything that you shall ask, believing. Some of us ain't believing God on the tithe now. I mean, I hear people say, I wish I'd hit the lottery. I'd give however much. You ain't giving the church nothing now. You get 50 million, all of a sudden you're going to get generous? Come on now. You ain't giving God his peace now. But you're going to give him 5 million? I mean, let's be real here. You won't give him 70 on 700. You gonna give him 10 million on a billion? Come on. I'm talking about asking and believing. We're gonna have to get serious if we're gonna see God do some things that are out of the ordinary. I believe if we'll put some faith in our prayer life, we'll see God do some things that'll blow our minds. Asking in faith, what about this? Looking toward his will. 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence. I like that word, confidence. That we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We use this as a cop out. When we pray something that we don't think God's really going to do, and we say it like this, God, if it be your will, then just do this. I don't think you're really going to do it, but maybe just if it's your will. Let me tell you something about the will of God. The will of God will not be stopped. Amen. You understand? If God wants it done, it'll be done. Amen. That's just the way that goes. There ain't nothing gets done that God don't want done. You hear me? The will of God is unceasable. It's not overcomable. That's not what John was saying here. He was saying that we have confidence in God. That when we ask according to his will, listen to me now, when we ask according to his will, how's that? We've been talking about it for the last 30 minutes. He hears us. Let me tell you something. When you pray, you are doing what is the will of God. The desire of God is that you ask. And when you ask, he hears. So how do I move the hand of God, figure out what his will is, and start praying in that direction. Hey, listen, if God's called you to preach, right? God's called you to preach, you ought to be praying that God would empower that aspect of your life. Sometimes I get to praying for stuff that don't have nothing to do with God's will in my life. I got to check myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen.
Let me be careful here. Some of us are asking stuff that ain't got nothing to do with God's will. It's just got to do with our will. And then we wonder why our prayers don't get answered. You know what makes me listen to somebody if they're talking about something I'm interested in? I'm giving you an illustration here. All right, I'm not God. But I'll tell you this. I believe you can get a whole lot more done in your prayer life if you talk to God about stuff God's actually interested in. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you said, Lord, put somebody in my path today that's lost that I can witness to? Mm-hmm. I mean, really. Lord,
how about this? Hey, how about this? We got all this emphasis on evangelism this year, but I'm going to tell you something. Without prayer, we will have no power in that. When's the last time that you, outside of the walls of this church, somewhere in your prayer place said, Lord, send some lost people to Down East Baptist Church next Sunday morning and let us preach the gospel to them. We can be confident in him, but our confidence does not come from our desire. It comes from his will.
Amen.
Job 42, I thought about this, and I'm working toward my last point here, but one of the methodologies of prayer is including others. Job 42. Job spent 40 chapters trying to figure out what in the world just happened. I mean, the devil showed up in Job's life and he systematically lost everything that he cared about in this world. His children, his farm,
his home, his health. The only thing left was his wife. And as far as what we know about her, he'd probably been, rather had his kids. I mean, he didn't lose her, but she went crazy in the process. And Job spent all this time with his so-called friends conversing about basically one simple question: what in the world just happened? How did this happen? Why did this happen? What is going on? And then God shows up in Job 41, starts talking to Job. And he really is humbling Job in the way he talks to him. He said, "Hey, bud, you don't know everything you think you know. Where were you at when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you at when I put the stars in the sky? All this stuff." He said, "Job, what you don't understand is there's a lot of stuff you don't know." And then God set Job up. He told Job's friends, he said, "I tell you what you better do. If you want to escape my wrath, you better go let Job pray for you. And maybe I'll look on you favorably." And here's what the Bible says, Job 42:10. "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." When Job finally got to the place where he got his mind off of what was going on, all the woes of his life, and started including somebody else in his prayer life. Can I tell you something? This prayer, this power of prayer that you have is such a powerful entity. It is far too powerful for us to keep it all to ourselves. I tell you what, God honors people that pray for people that ain't praying for themselves. God honors our prayer when we include others. And let me give you this and I'll be done. This is real simple. But I'm going to help y'all right here. I talk about the secrecy of prayer, the intimacy of prayer, the methodology of prayer. How do we pray? But this is real important. Don't miss this. The answer to prayer. Here's what God told Jeremiah way back at the beginning. God said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." Notice some things with me right here. He did not say how he would answer. He said that he would answer. Let me give you four possible answers to prayer tonight. Four possible answers to your petitions. Yes. No. Maybe. Not right now. Boy. I got three daughters. That last one's tough. Let me think about it. That's what I tell them when I mean no, but I don't really want to say no because I'm trying to be nice. Well, I say, "Let me talk to your mama about it."
Yep.
"Hey, don't worry, she does the same thing to me." But sometimes one of them will come up to me when I'm right in the middle of something. They'll ask me for something that I'm comfortable giving them. And the answer's not yes. The answer's not no. The answer's not maybe. Here's what it is. In a little while. Give me a minute. Later. Hear me out right here. I wonder how many times we have made a petition to God. And the answer was, later. But we never made it there. Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There ought to be some prayers that you're praying that's giving you something to look forward to. Hey, listen, yes, it's easy. No is easy. We may not like it, but it's simple. What about that maybe? How about this? I wonder how many prayers we prayed and God's response was probably something like this. "Well, if you, then I."
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name. Don't test me right here, because some of y'all are looking at me like, I don't know if that's really how God operates. If my people, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. That's where some of us, that's where we're at. If you humble yourself and pray, and if you continue to pursue me, and if you continue to try to do right, and if you are faithful in the things that I've given you, then I will open the door to these blessings in your life. But not until you do your part.
And I'll give you this and I'll be done. The Bible says that our God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory. That means that we are only limited by what He has available. So we're not limited at all. I believe God can redeem this community through this work. That's what I believe. And I have been proven right on that time and time again. I believe that broken families can be mended by the power of Jesus Christ. And I've seen time and time again that can. I believe that God can change someone's life by saving their soul. That's how much power we've got. So here's my challenge to you tonight. As we approach revival time, let's just talk to the Lord about it. What do you need from God? What do you want to see God do? What do you need in you? What are you missing in you that you need filled? I believe God can do that in this revival meeting. I absolutely believe that. I'll never forget, not long before we lit out to plant this church, I had gotten to a place in my life and my ministry just stale. Y'all ever been there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I was in church. I was faithful. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. But I would come and sit on the pews, and it just felt like this is just another day, and we're just doing another thing. And then we'd go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I'll never forget this. I remember, I can take you where I was sitting at, in Cornerstone Church, on a Wednesday night. And I said, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know where to go from here. Lord, I need you to give me something tonight that'll help me. My pastor turned to Revelation chapter 2. And he said, this one thing you are lacking, thou hast left thy first love. I said, yeah. How do I fix it? He read the next verse, and here's what it said. Return to the first words. Man, God lit a fire under me through that sermon. Changed the course of the direction of my life. That one little moment in time. That's how powerful it is to walk into this place with our ears open.
Amen.
To walk into our prayer closet with our heart open.
Amen.